Years and years ago, when my daughter was maybe 6 or 7, she found herself watching two people at school have a big disagreement. Two people that she considered to be her closest friends were fighting with each other. And they were making accusations on a 6-year-old level. I don't remember what the dispute was over, if it was over a toy or some words that were unkind or who got to sit where, but they were at it for days, going back and forth between fighting and then not talking to each other. And Faye was watching this with great pain in her heart. And she came home and she was telling me all about it. And I don't remember the details of who had said what and who had done what to whom and what effort she had made to try to reconcile these two, but it wasn't working. And she was pulling her hair out saying, I just don't know what to do to fix this. I can't make them be friends again. And I remember talking to her and saying, well, first of all, sweetie, let's just take a step back and talk about whose problem this really is. Well, she didn't want to hear any of that. It was her problem because she could see their pain and she was feeling it too. And then I said, sweetie, let's talk about what we can control and what we can't control, which is a very sort of 12-step mentality, right? You think about the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I said, well, what do you think you can control? And we talked about, you know, very clearly, she can control only herself. She cannot control other people. And she said, nope, Mom, I still got to hang on to this. And so then we talked a little bit about God. And I said, do you believe that God wants these two people to be healthy and happy and in a good relationship? Yes, he does, she said. And I said, well, do you believe that these two girls have a God, they have a higher power? And she said, yes, I do. And do you believe that God can take care of this? Yes, I do. Do you believe that you are God? And she said, she thought about it for a minute. And she said, no, I don't. And I said, sweetie pie, do you think that if God has their best interests at heart and God could completely handle this and God can take care of them and they each have God on their side, do you think maybe you can let this go and let God handle it? There's a long thought. And then she said, she shook her head and she said, you know what, Mom? I understand everything you're saying and I know you're right, but for now, God and I are just going to have to share this one. So I realized a little while ago that I have exactly 3 Sundays left with all of you. And I really wanted to think about if you only have 3 Sundays left with people and you have this extraordinary gift of being able to stand behind a pulpit and talk to them about God and about the Bible, what would you want to share? What haven't I already shared with you? And the reality is I've shared just about everything that I would hope that you would hear. But today's verse is one of my favorite verses. My favorite verse is the story of Pentecost, Acts 2. That one hands down beats out all the others in my opinion. But this passage where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This verse and this understanding of God has shaped me more than just about anything else. If you had told me this 30 years ago, I would have thought it was a bunch of baloney. But in my experience throughout life, having carried many a heavy burden and having watched other people carry heavy burdens, having turned around and watched every single person in this entire church raise their hand when I asked that question, have you ever carried a burden? I have come to understand God as through this understanding. It's actually part of a holy trinity of verses, if you will. Matthew 11:30 says, come to me, all you who are that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In the Old Testament, there's a very similar passage, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. And if any of you have ever had me visit you when you were in a time of need and I say a prayer, I always make sure to say, Lord, you promise us that if we but cast our burdens on you, you will carry them for us. You will help us. You will be there for us. You will allow us to rest so that we can do the things that we are supposed to do. And right now, this person is carrying too much for anybody to carry. And we dump it all on God's capable hands. How many people know what I'm talking about? Okay. So then, this passage has come to me a lot recently. As many of you are aware, I was out of the state for a funeral of the son of a close friend. She's my age, and her son was very young and taken much too early. And there was lots of talk about God, and unfortunately, the family was getting those most insensitive comments from people saying, well, you know, God has a plan. And it was interesting because I heard so many, you know, I got out of my comfort zone. This forced me out of my comfort zone in so many different ways. But it especially forced me out of my comfort zone because I was not with the people I'm normally with. I was with unfamiliar people. And I ended up getting a whole lot of what I call bumper sticker theology. You know what I'm talking about? Where people think they can sum up everything that is to be known about religion, about spirituality, about different faiths' understanding of God, different people's experience, and they can sum it up in a quick and witty pithy little statement. And, you know, when they find out that I'm a minister, of course, then they just like to bring these forth so that they feel like they have something, you know, intelligent to contribute to the conversation. And I had to really think on my feet and I had to really dig deep because I was in absolutely no emotional space to get into an intellectual argument with anybody. Even though I knew I could win, I was not willing to go to that place. And I certainly wasn't willing to go to that place with people who were actively grieving. That would not have been helpful to anybody. But when you hear things like, well, you know, God never gives us more than we can carry, which is not in the Bible. You know, God has a plan. This was a good one. This was a good one. And this is an exact quote. Well, my dad always said all religions were bad, but some are worse. And from a young man on the plane who did not know that I was going to a funeral, who actually ended up becoming a good friend, we're still in touch, he said, well, all I know is that the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. And it was in that moment that I found myself surprisingly evangelizing, which is not something that I often do. And I said, actually, that's not in the Bible. I said it very gently. A lot of people believe that. But in America, we've come to this very strange brand of what they have called Christianity, but it is not actually Christianity. It's all about people helping themselves and exploiting other people. And he said, well, from what I understand, you know, it's a list of do's and don'ts. He was from another country and did not practice any religion. And he said, from what I understand, everything that I understand is that it's a list of do's and don'ts of things you're supposed to do and not supposed to do so that you can get into heaven. And frankly, I think that's just so much control over the minutia of your life. I'm not willing to engage in it. And I said, yes, unfortunately, I thought someone was applauding for a second there. Thank you. Some people have co-opted it because when you can control people to that degree, when you can give the holy trinity of isolation and fear and micromanaging every aspect of their lives, then you can do just about anything you want with them, specifically exploit them, which is exactly what happens. People who are the poorest and people who are parts of these religions, they tend to give the most to very unethical people claiming to be ministers. And that is what they have labeled Christianity as. I said, but that is not what I practice. My understanding of God that has come again and again and being reinforced again and again in my life is that it's not about control. It's about letting go of control. It's about recognizing that when we are overwhelmed, when we are overcome, when we have too much going on, too many things on our to-do list, and we're frightened, and we're grieving, and we're feeling alone, and we're tired, and we're hungry, and we're depleted, that is the best time to turn it over to God. Because when we are at that point in our lives, we cannot see the possibilities that God has for us. It's very hard to see and to trust that something better will come along, that this time will pass, that there will be a point where there is joy again and order in the chaos. And that's the best time to do the hardest thing possible, which is to not just share it with God, let it go to God. And the more you can let go of that control, the more God can sweep in and do amazing things. Open your eyes to see things you have not seen before. Open your hearts to embrace people you have not been able to embrace before. Open your spirits to be able to let go of old grudges, of old angers, of old hurts that you didn't think you could let go of before, and to make room for all of the love that is out there waiting to pour into you from God and through other people. It has nothing to do with which bathroom you are allowed to use. It has nothing to do with how much money you may or may not have. It has absolutely nothing to do with what kind of food you eat. It has everything to do with trusting that there is a better plan out there and we just can't see it. And every time I have come to that point and had the wherewithal, which is hard, to remember to let it go, to actively, consciously, willingly turn it completely over to God, name it and let it go, within 24 hours, something shifts. And it's always me. I'm the one that shifts. My reality shifts. My understanding shifts. My perspective shifts. My heart shifts. And I see something that I didn't see before, either in myself or someone else, and the world gets bigger and there's suddenly more love in it. That is what it means when it says, come to me all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. And when I said this to this young man, who was 19, he was on his way. I couldn't believe this. When I was 19, I was trying to remember to brush my teeth every day. This young man at the age of 19 had invented a device that can help people read each other's minds. I kid you not. He had invented a device very much like a cochlear implant that helps people to hear. That when you speak into it, when you think about what you want to say, it can digitize it and put it into text form, which then can feed into people's hearing aids so that if you are unable to speak for yourself for whatever reason, stroke, birth defect, injury, other people will be able to hear what you say in any language, because once it is digitized, it can be instantly translated. That means deaf people can hear each other just by looking at each other. That means people who come to our churches who have left because they can't hear properly and everything we do in churches is auditory could sit and listen and hear accurately even if I don't open my mouth. Unbelievable. He was being flown out to Austin to go talk to investors so that he can build it and then release it for free so that everyone has access to it. 19 years old, and he was frightened, and he was worried, and he was far from home, and he was very young, and he was very worried, and he was hearing all of the criticisms that he had heard from different people around his life, and then he throws out this, well, all I know is that sounds like way too much control to me, and I said, you know what, that is not what this is about, and I told him what I just told you, and there was this long pause, and he said, thank you for that. I never understood that before, and that was extremely motivating to me. I feel so much calmer and better going into what I have to do now. And while we're in touch, we exchange emails, and I invited him to come teach at the academic summer program. He's totally going to come, and we have connection. And when I said this to this person, I said, have I ever said that to my church? Have I ever told them that? I mean, in bits and pieces, yes. Individually, yes. But have I ever told them what it means to cast your burdens on God? How come I'm telling it to a stranger on the plane when I need to be telling it to you? So here's the last part of the Holy Trinity of verses. The first is from Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And the second one is Psalm 55. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. There's a third part that's really critical. That's really critical, especially when bad things happen to anybody. Especially when people are grieving. Especially when the inexplicable has just happened. And people say stupid things like, God has a plan. Or God will never give you more than you can handle. Life always gives you more than you can handle. There is nothing that we do that isn't more than we can handle. There is nothing that is required to sustain our very lives, morning, noon, and night, that isn't more than we can handle. Everything is more than we can handle. That's life. God doesn't promise that that won't happen. God promises that if we come to God, God will give us rest and sustain us, even in overwhelming circumstances. And so it's really important, this third verse, which is from the book of Lamentations, which is simply a cry out to God in overwhelming circumstances. It's after the exile, it's after the city had been sacked, it's after all the people had been pulled from their homes, and the city was literally left in smoking ruins. This is someone's prayer, someone's cry out to God amidst all of this craziness. If you look at the way the verses are structured, you can see that it's made in a chiastic structure. That means the first verse and the last verse echo each other. They match each other. The second verse and the second to last verse echo and match each other. And so on all the way till you get to the center of the X. It looks like an X if you map it out. At the center of the X, when you find biblical passages that have the chiastic structure, that is the heart of the matter. That is what God is trying to tell you. That is what the author is trying to get across you. That's the most important passage of the entire thing. And amidst all of their descriptions of the horror of what was going on and the sadness and the weeping, in the middle of all of this, there's this crystallizing moment when this person who has seen the worst that they could possibly see, everything in their entire world has literally fallen apart and keeps falling apart and shows no signs of stopping. What they say is, God will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. God will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. I'm going to say that twice more so you can hear it. For God does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. For God does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. People do. Life does. Circumstances happen. People make bad decisions. Sometimes the inexplicable happens unexpectedly, and no amount of analyzing will ever explain it. But God does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. All God does is say, come to me and I will give you rest and sustain you so that as you move through this, you're not carrying it all by yourself and you are not alone. And God does this directly to people. And I know there are many in this room that know exactly what I'm talking about. And God does this through each other. Paul's letter that instructs us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, gets to the heart of what it means to be God's hands and God's feet, to be Christ's body, to carry each other's burdens, even when what they are carrying is unbelievably huge and it is a bucket of tears. We can stand with people. We can't fix it, but we can stand. And we can encourage them to turn it over and trust that something will shift. This will come to pass. And no matter what people may say in their grief, in their ignorance, in their insensitivity, God does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. So I invite you all, as you move through life and as you come in contact with people who may be overwhelmed, to cast your burdens on God, to come to God with them. But keep your eye on the vision. Do know that God does have a vision for us. We see it in Pentecost. We see it when everyone comes together from all different directions and they live in harmony with one another and they share with one another and everyone has enough and they're in harmony with all the people that are not part of their community, even though they may disagree even though they may live separately. That's what we're shooting for. And so if we trust that that is where we are headed, we have to recognize that anything we're going through is but a temporary obstacle. And the trick is to truly, truly let it go so that God can help us move through it or over it or under it or around it or simply obliterate it so that we can take one step closer to that vision. So I invite you at all times, every day, with every person you come in contact with, cast your burdens on God. Come to God and come to Christ, all you that are weary or carrying heavy burdens. Let yourselves rest. Let yourselves be sustained. And at the same time, keep your eye on that vision of the kingdom. Don't ever forget that's the vision. Can I get an amen to that?